I wanted to take a few minutes to pray for the Dixon family, to just seek the Lord for them. Gary, I'm not sure what you know yet, but yeah. Abby was taken off life support yesterday, and she is in heaven. So I want to take some time and pray for them and just seek the Lord for them. You know, I'm just going to tell you guys, Mama here and I, we've talked about this, and I will give anything in the world not to go through that. I pray that that never happens. As much as I could, I'd do anything possible not to have to go through that. We've lost two children ourselves, but not teenagers and not, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids. We lost, infants in the womb, and that was hard enough. But the concept of losing a child, we talked about the suffering and sovereignty of God, and we can talk about these things. And guys, this is why it's so important to know the Bible, to know what you believe, and to be settled on these things for when that stuff happens, because you never know when it's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. It's totally up to God. So when something like that tragic happens, trusting in God is not the last thing you think about, but the first step you go to. You've already settled in your heart the things of God. A lot of people only trust Jesus would save, would heal, and they're now having a hard time. Why would God allow this? And we've got to be settled on why God allows these things. We got to understand that we are not our own. We're bought and paid for with a price. This is not our home. This is not our final destination. We listened to that apologetics studies as we were going up to Washington, D.C. the other week, last week. And one of the guys, I don't remember who it was, said, God has given you a heart, a beating muscle in your body that for 90 years beats 7,000 gallons of blood throughout your body over the normal period of your life. And you live for 90 years, and it runs on donuts. Whatever you eat. Donuts, whatever, it runs on that. All the time. But I want you to think about this. We're not guaranteed 7 minutes. We're not promised 7 years or 90 or 70. And we have to be settled for what happens when it happens. Because nobody likes to talk about dying, but every single person in this room is going to die. Every single person in this room is going to meet God, and quickly. You guys don't realize, and quickly. I mean, for you young kids in here, you teenagers in here, I want you to think about this. We all die one day. Listen to me. Think about this. We all die one day. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. For every day that God gives you, every breath that God gives you, that's a privilege. He gave Abby up until yesterday at 3 o'clock. I don't know what time she went to meet with the Lord. Like Diane said, it could have been Tuesday. We don't know. We don't have a clue. She's 18. But I want you to think about this. Yes, she knew Christ as her Savior and Lord, and she was comfortable in that. But I want you to think about this. You can go any minute. Abby was given a short life, but I said this last night, and I'm going to say it again. She will always be remembered as that sweet angel that smiled and was happy and cheerful and kind. There are people that will die, and they will be remembered forever as being hate-filled and angry and mean vindictive people that nobody wanted to be around. People hated. People couldn't stand you. People didn't want to have anything to do with you. You were constantly an insult and a conflict on life. That wasn't Abby. That's not supposed to be Christians. The Bible says that they can see your good works and glorify God. I don't know if I didn't know Abby that well, but I knew her well enough. I knew her family well enough. I knew them well enough to say this. She made everybody's life happier. Which do you want to be known for? To be happy and make other people happy, or just the person nobody wanted to be around? Diane and I could sit here and talk about somebody that we knew that nobody wanted to be around, that everybody said was the most hateful man in the universe. I'm not going to tell you his name because I'm not giving you his name. But that's the point. Diane, I know exactly who we're talking about. You know, think about this. The Bible says you're supposed to be as loving as Jesus Christ is. Now, even to the point of giving up your life. Why? Abby was so sweet and loving that everybody loved her. Does everybody love you? Does everybody think of you as a sweet and kind and gentle? Or do they see you picking and being angry and hate-filled and you're nitpicking over every little thing? Because I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. I've been thinking about this. You know, how do people see us when we die? The people are going to have, when you stand up for the Word of God, they're going to have a negative stereotype. But do they see your loving spirit? Do they see your kindness? You know, do they see how gentle and gracious you are? Does your own family, you know, I'm not talking about everybody out there. I'm talking about your family. I mean, look at your family, the people that you hang around. Do they think of you in a loving way, as you should be thought of? So I just want to take some time and pray for that family. And if you guys have anything you want to think about, anything you want to pray about, let's pray about it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to come before you. I want to lift up first of our nation and those leaders that are in our nation. God, I lift them up to you, Lord, and I pray, God, that in your sovereign kindness that you would grant us good leaders, that you would grant us godly leaders, Lord, and that we would have godly leaders that would fight against the wickedness and the darkness. Lord, for so long we've had terrible, terrible leadership. And I know it comes from an unrepentant heart. And I pray to you as Daniel did, on behalf of this nation, Lord, I ask you, Lord God, to forgive us. Forgive this nation. Forgive us for our wickedness and where we've been. God in heaven, I pray that you will forgive us for our failures and where we've been unrighteous in your sight. Lord God in heaven, I want to pray for Garrett. Lord, and for all those soldiers that are coming back and they're in just shock. They can't believe what they've seen. They can't process it. And Lord, I pray that they go to a godly counselor, one that can teach them about what it means to live righteously before the Lord and what it means to go through what they've gone through and why it is that these things have taken place, so that they might find comfort in knowing that they were fighting the good fight, that they were standing up for truth and that they were doing what was right. Lord, if they need to repent, Lord, I pray that they'll come to repentance. Lord, I pray for Garrett. Lord, I don't know if he knows you, but I do know, Lord, that he's going through some trauma because of what he's seen in the throes of war. And I also know, Lord, that historically speaking, our nation has done very little to deal with people who are going through that. And I pray, God, that you'll bring somebody along that can teach him and mentor him and share with him and love him and guide him and disciple him so that he might understand what has taken place in his life. Lord God in heaven, I do want to take a moment I pray for the Dixon family. Abby is with you now, and we're solid and confirmed in that. But the Dixons are here, and they are, I don't know. I don't know what they are, Lord. I really don't. I don't understand. I can't comprehend how they would feel. I know how I'd feel if I lost Kristen or Brandon or Wyatt or Gracie or Diane. I feel it in my gut. I feel that pain inside of me that would want to rip my own heart out. I feel the hurt and the anguish and the sorrow. But Lord, I also feel the joy. I feel that peace that passes understanding. God, I feel that wisdom and knowledge that you are our God and our Savior and our Lord, and you're there with us and you're taking us through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord. And I pray for the Dixons, Lord, that they feel this same thing, Lord, that they feel that you are taking them through the valley and you're right there with them and you're guarding them and you're keeping them and protecting them. And as they walk through this pain and this terror in their life, this heartache, they can know for a fact that Abby is safe in your arms and you've answered all the prayers. You've answered the prayers with, yes, I'm going to take her home, make her perfectly whole, make her absolutely well, give her a clean and new heart, give her a spirit, give her a body, give her a life that is perfect because of the finished perfect work of Jesus Christ. Lord, if I do not understand what else I could trust in, Lord, I think pain and sorrow and tragedy drives us closer to you, causes us to lean more on you, because as we get older and more of this world transitions into the more and more of that world that is to come, as we see our death approaching, as we see those that we love dying and going into heaven. I think about Donna right now and Alan. Maybe they're in church. Maybe they're crying and brokenhearted because while they want to worship, Lord, their hearts are broken because they want Abby in their arms again. Lord God in heaven, give them rest that while they may not have her physically in their arms, they placed her in yours. Give us the comfort and joy, Lord, even in our own families, to know that we've done everything that we can to place our children in your arms so that we might have the peace that passes all understanding, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And I pray, God, that you'll just give them strength and grace and peace. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen. So this is where we're at. We didn't get to this Bible verse, and we're just going to go quickly. We've only got, 15, 20 minutes left. Okay. We are on point number 4 about Christ the mediator. And it says, this office and duty of mediator and surety, the Lord Jesus undertook most willingly. And we went through Psalm 40, verse 7 and 8, and John 10, 18. And Hebrews 10, 5 through 10 tells us, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. This is talking about Jesus Christ. The writer is talking about Jesus Christ, who is talking to God the Father. Think about this. Wherefore he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Talking to God the Father. But a body thou hast prepared for me. Talking about the incarnation of the Son of Man. Verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Throughout the whole entire Old Testament religious system, the system was to placate the wrath of God, because the perfect would come. So it was the temporary, because the perfect sacrifice would come. Verse 7, Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now this is talking about the old covenant versus the new covenant. He is doing away, in Hebrews it's talking about the old covenant, the Old Testament, the laws, the mandates of covenant laws. He says those are done away with, and he's establishing a new covenant, a better covenant. Okay? Verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now in the old covenant, the sanctification came by God through the sacrificed lamb. In other words, what made you whole, not necessarily holy, what redeemed you temporarily was the sacrificial lamb. I almost said what made you holy, but that's not exactly the way it looked. What redeemed you temporarily was the sacrificial lamb, but let's just say it covered you. It never fully redeemed you, because there was always a guilt sin. There was always guilt for your sin. You were constantly aware that you had sinned against God and you need to go back for another offering. Okay, but this says here, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified. There needs to be a comma there. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So in other words, you had the Old Testament sacrifices and systems that were continuous because we were continuous sinners. They had to constantly be doing it. But it never gave God pleasure. That system was never designed to sanctify or justify. It was never designed to make us holy. However, when Jesus Christ came, as was predestined and planned by God the Father, Jesus Christ came to be the living sacrifice and to do all the perfect will of God, and to cause the Lord God to find pleasure in the sacrifice. And it says here in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This was a one-time sacrifice, and it didn't need to be done again. Now, the next part of our confession here says, to discharge it, he was made under the law. So in other words, to discharge the office of mediator and surety, Jesus Christ, back to point number 4, undertook most willingly the office. To discharge it, he was made under the law. So in other words, how was it that his sacrifice as mediator and surety was discharged? Under the law. He was put under the law. Galatians 4:4. Wyatt, you want to read that? So, this says in Galatians 4:4, when God had, at the very moment that God had prepared this to happen, when the fullness of time came, in other words, at the exact moment that God had predestined for this to happen, in the exact way that God had said it was going to happen, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now, I want you to think about that. It's not just any general woman. It's a specific woman. But the reason it says made under the woman is the very same reason the Roman Catholics mess up when they say Mary is the mediatrix. When they say that she is the one that stands in as a mediator. Okay? This is saying she is just a woman. This is pointing out the fact, because you remember what time was going on in the Galatian period. In the Galatian period, there were heretics coming along claiming that Jesus Christ wasn't God. They were claiming that Jesus Christ wasn't the final mediator and he wasn't the final sacrifice. They were saying there was other ones that did it, and there was a Gnostic teachings, possibly even starting the Mariolatry at that point. as they were starting in the Roman Catholic, or it's the Roman line of false gods and goddesses, goddesses Diana and other ones like that. So you have to realize that during this time, when Galatians is written, he says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son made of a woman. Yes, we're talking Mary, but the reason he doesn't say made of the Virgin Mary, because she isn't the Virgin Mary. At the time that she conceived Christ, or the Holy Spirit conceived Christ in her, let me say that, she was a virgin. And in that sense, she was the Virgin Mary at that moment. But she isn't the eternal virgin. She's just a woman. She's not God. She's not part of the Trinity. She's not anything special in the sense of deity. Okay? She's just a woman. Yes, she's blessed. And when I say just a woman, it's not an insult to women. It is a matter of fact. The guy that was carrying that donkey, walking along that donkey, and Jesus told the disciples, go get this donkey and tell him he has need of me. He was just a man. It's not an insult. It's just a fact. He was just a man. She was just a woman. She was used of God in a special way. So was that guy that carried that donkey. Not only was he made of a woman, he was made under the law. He was made subject to the law. This is mind-blowing. You ready for this? The one who gave the law submitted himself to the law. Why? So he could conquer the law. Now, I've said this before, and I have to repent of it. I've told you guys that we are saved so that we can keep the law. It's not true. I was wrong in that. Okay? That's a theonomic position. I thought about it more and more and more. Okay? Huh? We can't. But now think about this. What I mean by that is we don't strive to our salvation by keeping the law. Matt Slick says it this way, and I love the way he says it. He first person I've ever heard say it, and I think it's the greatest term I've ever heard. When God saves us, Jesus Christ was brought under the law, brought himself under the law, so that he could keep the law, so that he could complete the law, so that he could destroy the law. Put an end to it. So we wouldn't have to submit ourselves to the law. As Christians, we keep the law. Here's Matt Slick saying, we keep the law accidentally. Not as compulsion. It's not something where we're fretting over keeping every jot and tittle of the law. We're set free to keep the law of Christ. And only Christians can do that. We accidentally keep the law. We don't lie. We don't steal. We don't do these things because Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and compels us not to want to do these things. As we read it, you know, like we talked about before, we're driving down the road and we read, you know, in Psalms, I believe Proverbs, that, you know, you're not to be picking on people and saying, oh, I was just teasing. Because that's a sin. And we're sitting there reading it and we go, oh, man, wow. And we just fell apart. We're like, everybody in the whole car was, especially some little blonde girl back here in the back, not saying anything about the little blonde girl in the back, but and we're sitting here going, are you serious? And we're just looking at it like, oh boy. Because we realize that in our family, we kind of pick, you know, and a lot. And so we're sitting here going through that, and we realize we don't do that. We shouldn't be doing that. And we look at it, and we say, We're not going to do that. Not because it's a law, but because God tells us not to do it. We don't want to do it because as Christians, we want to uphold righteousness and holiness. We want to be pure as Christ is pure. Okay, Matthew 3:15. Who wants to do it? Somebody? You just did that one. Hold on. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, that's what's on there, but I'll tell you what I'd like to do is I'd like to actually look at that and figure out exactly what the fullness of that says. Matthew 3:15 says, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so for now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him and perfectly fulfilled it, and he underwent the punishment due to us. Okay, I've got that on there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our time together. And though it was short, Lord, I pray that we learned something. Lord, as we just have taken the time, Lord, just to just gather our thoughts and our time here to just to come to worship you, Lord, I pray that we come to worship in spirit and truth. And I pray for those that aren't here that need to be here, and I pray for those in our community that we are able to get to come in fellowship with us here. Lord, please, Lord, look over every family here and keep us safe, and let us glorify you and magnify your name, and may others come to Christ through the witness that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen.